We are on the last of a series of messages on the book of Romans. We're going to take a pause for...
We're going to take a pause during September and October to do a couple of different things, talk about church and family, and talk about the Reformation during those months, and then come back to finish up Romans in November. This is my summary of the first half, the book of Romans. Last week we covered chapters 9 to 11 in one fell swoop. This week we narrow down on the middle promise in the book, in that section of Romans. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. This promise this morning as we finish our first half study of the book of Romans. I love this verse. I love it because it continues, for one reason, it continues all the alls. I said that poorly. It continues the alls in the book of Romans. We've seen them up here. Corinne, would you hit F6 one more? I don't know if I... Well, technical difficulties. It continues all the alls. And you know the alls in the book of Romans. If you have my big notes, that they're on the big notes in the back. God calls people from among all the Gentiles. God's wrath is being poured out on all the wickedness of men. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Oh, there we go. We're up there. Thank you. Romans 5, in Adam's sin, all sin. Romans 8, in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who are the called according to his purpose. Romans 8:37, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. Romans 11, our passage last week, all Israel will be saved. And we're going to get to all knees are going to bow, every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord in chapter 14. Just a great promise from Paul. The alls. And today, this just incredible all. I want to read one more time these verses just so you hear them again from Romans 10. For it is with your heart you believe and are justified. It's with your mouth you confess and are saved. As Scripture says, all who trust in him will never be put to shame. We would say anyone who trusts in him. Scripture says all who trust in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all. Lord of all. And richly blesses all who call on him, because all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Do you hear that? All. I love that passage. Paul quotes from Joel chapter 2, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's the passage Peter chose for his Pentecost sermon. Here, Joel 2. Rend your heart, not your garments. Return to the Lord, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in love, relents from sending calamity. Who knows? He may turn. He may have pity. He may leave behind a blessing, grain offerings, drink offerings for the Lord your God. Blow your trumpet in Zion. Declare a holy fast. Call a sacred assembly. Gather the people. Consecrate the assembly, bring together the elders, gather the children, let the bridegroom leave his room, the bride her chamber, let the priests weep before the temple, let them call out, spare your people, do not make your inheritance an object of scorn. Why should people say, where is their God? Then you will know that I am the Lord your God, there is no other, never again will my people be shamed. And then, afterwards, I will pour out my spirit on all your people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Everything God's going to do. And it ends with, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. A great passage of God reaching down, doing something here on earth, and everyone having the opportunity to respond, call on the name of the Lord, and be saved. had another classes meeting this week where we discussed some of the conflicts going on in the Christian Reformed Church. And some of those conflicts go all the way back to the big, one of those big alls. Does all mean, PJ quoted this morning, when God so loved the world, does that mean God loves the whole world? And the answer is yes. We've been so quick to say, to really like the second one there, God's wrath is being poured out against all the wickedness, that we forget that all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. If the one means all, then I'm convinced that second one means all as well. This morning, another chance to hear God's incredible promise. But there's one other thing going on in this passage. As we think Paul's writing to the Roman church, I want you to have in the back of your mind, what would Paul say to the Anacortes church in this passage? So I'm going to read Paul's word to the Roman church, the Holy Spirit's word to us. And I want in the back of your mind you to be thinking, if Paul were writing in the 21st century in Anacortes, what might possibly change? Romans, beginning with chapter 9, verse 30, and through chapter 10. Remember, I'm reading Paul. I want you to be thinking what Paul might say if he were writing today. What then shall we say? That the Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have obtained it, a righteousness that is by faith, but Israel, who pursued a law of righteousness, has not attained it? Why not? Because they pursued it not by faith, but as if it were by works. They stumbled over that stumbling stone written about by Isaiah. See, I lay in Zion a stone that causes men to stumble, a rock that makes them fall. And no one who puts his trust in him will ever be put to shame. Brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for the Israelites is that they may be saved. For I can testify about them that they are zealous for God, but their zeal is not based on knowledge. Since they did not know the righteousness that comes from God and sought to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness. Christ is the end of the law, so that there might be righteousness for everyone who believes. Moses describes it this way: the man who does these things will live by them. That's bad news when you're talking about the law, by the way. Ugh. But the righteousness that is by faith says this: do not say in your heart, who will ascend to the heavens, that is, bring Christ down, or who will descend to the deep, that is, bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you. It is in your mouth. It is in your heart. That is the word of faith we are proclaiming. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, that if you believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. It's with your mouth you confess and are saved. As Scripture says, anyone who puts in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Romans chapter 9. I took a few minutes this week to rewrite some of those words. It's in your notes. It's in the. I did my own translation of this passage with lots of apologies to Eugene Peterson, whose translation of this in the message is brilliant. I wrote it. I sat down and said, okay, Paul, now you're writing to me today. How might it sound today? And so this is my rough translation, rough paraphrase of those verses. And what I have in mind is Paul's talking about Jew and Gentile. What I have in mind is church people who are absolutely surprised that God has granted us his grace and invited us into his kingdom. I mean, we know we didn't deserve to be here. And them, the Anacortes person who is absolutely convinced that he or she is spiritual, a good person, and God's certainly going to accept them into heaven because they're such a spiritual, good person. That's the them. So I kind of shifted a little bit. This is how I rewrote it. How do I summarize the story of God and his people? Like this. Those of us who were unaware of God's promises, who started out not even thinking that I needed to be set right with God, have found ourselves set right, not by our own effort, but simply by trusting. But our neighbors, they're our neighbors, they're there. BJ's already reminded us how much we gotta love them. Our neighbors, who worked so hard on their, quote, spiritual projects, their approaching God on their own terms, have failed to recognize what God has been doing all along. Why? Because instead of dealing with God on his terms, they insist on approaching God on their own terms. And so they've worked for nothing. In fact, they stumbled over what Isaiah called that universal rock of offense. They rejected the very person who promised, if you trust me, you will never be disappointed. Brothers and sisters, I recognize that their search for God has been impressive. And we could list off the impressive spiritual things that that this generation has done. You know, from Oprah on down, right? Just New Age practices that make me jealous with their devotion. Just list what our neighbors are doing in their spiritual projects. And you get a sense of what Paul was thinking about his Jewish people. There's the prophets, there's the patriarchs, there's the temple. I mean, I'm thinking about everything on that list that people do in their spiritual projects. And I know you've got a list of them yourself that you see. My favorite, they have the coexist bumper sticker on the back of their Prius, right? I mean, that's right. That's it. I recognize that their search for God, for spirituality, has been impressive. But they missed the fundamental truth that one is set right with God on his terms. Not by my own idea, not by my own system. My own system always ends up burdensome